Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to Hardcore Listing. My name is Christopher William Glasson. Sat opposite me via the means of Zoom is...
Stuart Roy Whiffin. Good morning, Christopher.
How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. We're recording this on the 19th. We've just woke up after a kind of deflated evening of Euro football. We're not going to go football on this podcast because Chris and I know bugger all about football. But did watch the England game last night, purely because I had nothing better to do. But yeah, I just hoped for something a bit better. I was very impressed, like, seeing the passion of the Scots, always. But woke up this morning. I had a haircut today, Chris. I can see that you haven't. Just before we get into today's episode, I feel like I need to discuss your shirt.
How can you even see it?
Well, I know. It's like... I presume that Brian Harvey has had a garden sale and you've just popped round E17 and picked up some urban camo.
I'll tell you one thing, how rude you're being. You're being rude to a former guest.
Really?
This is Ricky Hall's brand, Indigo and Goods.
Right, okay.
And it's wonderful stuff. Like, it's so hard wearing. Like, it's all manufactured in the UK because I'm a racist. Yep. Because I like to support UK production and manufacture. And the material is just so hard wearing, the cotton in it. Mm. So I'm really a big fan of Indigo and Goods. We're not sponsored by these guys, but I just think they're a wonderful label. So yeah, that's what I'm wearing today. I'm wearing a camo print T-shirt. But my beard is absolutely out of control, and I need to have a little sharpen up with the hair as well. What do? Are they combing grey through it now? A little bit of grey dye through there or something? What are they doing that with your hair?
Well, you mentioned Indigo there, so let's just take a break and talk about our other sponsors. Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia, and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. For one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot. So it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall makes sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car is a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like, build out your dream garage. You know, what has caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chiles, Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, why I'm here, have I mentioned the Land Rover Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old ex-MOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one. Hello, I want to take a moment to shout out one of our wicked sponsors, Eggfried.com. They are a streetwear brand. They produce t-shirts, sweats, hoodies, handmade denims. It's all inspired by hip-hop, punk, choir fashion. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, head over to Eggfried.com and have a look on the website, because it's not just the design, it's the layout, it's the website. You know, the creative team over there are absolutely on point. There's just some great stuff there. And not just for adults as well. They've got Small Fried, which is their range of kids' clothes. And if you want your kid to just look beyond cool, like, head over and check that out. And they've given us a discount code, right, Chris?
Yes, Egg Salad. If you type Egg Salad into the discount coupon section, you get yourself a tidy little discount. And when they send out the stuff, it is packaged exquisitely. You get little goodies in there, stickers, and it's all wrapped up beautifully. So check out eggfried.com.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
Oh, no, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katy Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right. There you go. Okay, so Christopher and myself, George Clooney, will be talking today about top 5 movie scores.
Yes.
So and that was suggested by Ali, was it?
Ali Moo.
Yes. I think she suggested soundtracks, which was your initial suggestion, but I'm sure we've done that. I'm pretty damn sure we've done that. So
Ali, this is for you anyway.
Yes.
Because soundtracks is epic, and you could probably do another 3 other podcasts on that. But you sensibly suggested musical scores. And what a treat it's been this morning going through. It's been a real treat. A cup of coffee and going through, picking my top five and looking at all the different sort of like connections between the films and composers and stuff like that. It's been a real treat. Because I think, nice. I don't know, like I guess in my late teens, I started realising how I didn't actually before that realise that the music was just as important to a film as you know, what you're seeing. You know, how it stirs up your emotions. We've said this before. So, yeah, I really enjoyed setting up this and doing this as a top five. And I'm sure there's going to be some crossovers, but there's plenty there to build and elaborate on. Because there's some big hitters. You could easily do a top five on
one particular
composers, right? Mm. So, yeah.
Well, we should also say, if you like hearing Chris and I talking about top fives, don't overlook Patreon.
Don't overlook it.
Go and look at it, in fact. Because this week, Chris and I had done a live episode on Zoom and invited all the Patreons along. And it was wonderful. We sit there and we do a live chat. We've done top five 90s comedies. And we throw it open. If you want to take your mic off in the Zoom call, you can get involved.
Yeah,
and
if you want to take your top off in the Zoom call, you can do that as well. We do shots. And by the end of it, we're all naked, really.
www.patreon.com/hardcore listing.
But it is an awesome community we have there.
Yeah, it really is.
Everyone's getting to know each other really well now. And it's just so fun to have that and have the patrons chip in and, you know, say things that are way more witty, funny, insightful,
intelligent
than us two.
Yeah, what you say, yeah. Like, I think what should also say as well is, aside from the live ones, we do put out an episode every Wednesday on Patreon as well. So that don't go out to the masses. That just goes to that gang. And also what you do get if you become a patron is access to a back catalogue of probably 250 episodes as well that have never been out. So you can go and get stuck in and listen to some absolute drivel from Chris and I. And Scroobius Pippikins, he's been super kind as well and he's given us the videos to the drunk casts, so you can actually go and watch the drunk casts over there. You can see Chris, I, Pip, Ramesh, Brett, Rich, Jade Adams. Like, yeah, you can watch all the drunk casts over there, so go and get stuck into them. And
my mum's on there as well.
Yes, your mum featured quite heavily this week on the live show.
Oh, yeah, she did. I think I got told off three times.
Yes, certainly did. And yeah, and this episode, which isn't a Patreon episode, the video of this. So if you want to watch Our Ugly Mugs, you can. That's another thing that you get on Patreon. You can watch all the episodes. We put up the Monday and the Wednesday episode each week as video as well. So there's loads over there. And fundamentally, the most important thing is you're helping support the podcast. And yeah, as mentioned, Patreon. That's patreon.com/hardcore listing. Christopher, you can start today.
Yes, I will start today. I'm taking the mic off of you. Like we're in a cypher, a rap cypher. I'm starting with an upbeat, happy one. Don't get too used to that, is all I'm going to say in my top five. My number five is Jan Tiersen, who did the score for Amelie.
Okay.
Now, Amelie, so I was thinking of it. I was trying to just, you know, when I do these top fives, I try and write from my gut to start with, all the ones.
You said that, you're writing with your hand.
Yeah. Yeah, but sometimes I stick a pen in my belly button. And Amelie was one of the first ones that came up. It used to make me cry a fucking lot, this film. It's such a beautiful, lovely, upbeat French movie. And I really recommend people watch it. It must be from like 1999, that film.
I reckon it might be older than that.
It might be. It might be a little older than that. I wouldn't say it goes much further than that. Because I remember it being like a big hit for me at uni and around that era. So, it's a delightful French comedy set in Montmartre, and it became a massive global smash. It tells the story of a whimsical, shy waitress who decides to change the lives of those around her for the better. And the composer was a chap called Jan Tiersen, and they did this Gallic sort of score, and it's got nice little piano moments in it, and it's just the accordion in it that just makes it feel that like whimsical.
It's just beautiful. And it just makes me cry. I think a lot of the ones that have made their way into their top five, they either make me cry with this sort of like beautiful sort of joy of, you know, the bittersweet beauty of life, or they just make me very melancholic or haunting, I guess. That's the one. That's it, me, Amelie. Very happy. Go and watch it. What a bloody splendid film it is.
It was 2001, in fact.
Fuck.
Chris, I did have a little look.
Shit. Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, yes. Oh, lovely. Lovely. What a film as well.
It is. A beautiful film. There's a bit like she finds this box of memories. I think it's somebody else's memories. And I just in floods of tears. It's been a while since I watched it, so I might have to give it a... Rewind selector, for everyone listening, that wasn't a sound effect. I just did that straight out of my voice.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, man.
Do you know what? Sometimes I think, I don't think you could ever impress me more. And then every now and again,
I know. Bingo. Well, I'm wearing a vest as well today, so it's just going mad.
I see. Molly put up a little video. You posing with your new trousers on as well. You had your little fisherman jacket on, didn't you? Little jumper.
My fisherman waffle knit jumper. And,
yeah, little woolly hat.
This is goes to show after I buy clothes, like that you know when I've got a new piece of item of clothing on. That's ridiculous.
You rolled them up, didn't you? You had little white socks on, white trainers.
Thought you looked very cool,
mate.
I'm wearing them today because it's Saturday, right? And a lot of the week, I like lounge around in like just like my loungewear. So it's that Saturday dress up, feel nice. Good. You know, live your best life and all that.
Absolutely.
What's your number five, matey?
Shame.
Oh, well, fucking courses. Are they all shame?
Are they? Four of them are, yeah.
Okay.
No.
I know what your number one is.
It's shame. And although it is a soundtrack, I'm going to
Have
go...
you fucking cheated straight
no,
away?
No, I haven't.
You cheated?
No, I'm going for the score.
Okay.
So the music that was written for the film, and so the composer is Harry Escott, and there is a track on there that is 9 minutes, and it's called Unraveling, and I don't expect you to remember it.
I can't even remember if I've seen Shane.
No, but the track, because when we went swimming, me, you, Tom, and 76.
Yeah.
And we got into the mountains, and I put some music
on. Oh, that was it, right.
I put that on.
Yeah, I remember that, man.
It's beautiful. And I mean, it's well documented that obviously everybody thinks that's my favourite film. It's not. I just mentioned it twice, and then that was it. Obviously, you fucking idiots were just like, oh, that's obviously your best film, then. Oh, fucking hell, mentioning that fucking film again. Oh, God, yeah. He's... I mean, the soundtrack itself is really good, but the track's Brandon and Unraveling by Harry Escott, which is the kind of the classical score to it, is fucking lovely, and I'd recommend anybody to go and listen to it. It's very somber. Not all of mine are somber, but this is definitely probably the most sort of sullen of my choices, and it's lovely.
So you've got a few more up-tempo, happy ones, have you?
Yeah, yeah.
A few more pump-up ones in yours.
Okay, you going to bring the mood down?
Right then. The Thing.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So this is Morricone, Ennio Morricone. It was John Carpenter movie, one of my favourite horror films. Maybe my number one. And it's simple, and it's 80s. And Carpenter was a fan of Morricone, and the other producer suggested, who should we get for this? And Carpenter, I think, was too busy filming. So he was like, yeah, let's get someone in. And they picked Morricone. He was up for doing it. His background is mad. Like, I was looking into that this morning, like Morricone as a composer, and he was into all sorts of weird shit as writing music back in the day. And he was a schoolmate of Sergio Leone as well, the director. So
yep.
So he was making quite experimental stuff. So even though you think of all his spaghetti western stuff, actually he wasn't like... unfamiliar with the sort of like soundscapes that Carpenter kind of was producing himself. And the first few things that Carpenter and Morricone made, Carpenter said they were too intricate and he wanted him to simplify it a little bit. So that's what Morricone did. And then it came out with this, like, Carpenter said he went and sat in on when they took it and they had the orchestra. Whose orchestra was it? I did have a look at who. What orchestra it went to, but he went in to see him perform it, and he just said it just brought this absolute darkness and desperateness to the sort of the feeling and the overall feel of the movie, and it really does come across like that from the very first start of the thing. It's such a moody, drawn out theme tune that just slowly dribbles through the film. With that sort of like heartbeat and then the synths and stuff like that, it's wicked. And in actual fact, he used offcuts of that. Morricone did Hateful Eight when he was over 80 years old. He did Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight.
So and that's Django.
Did he do Django as well? Incredible. And he used some of the bits that they dropped from The Thing. He actually then picked up and used within the Hateful Eight theme tune, which actually now... Saying that, I listened to some of the Hateful Eight's theme tune score today, and you can hear it in there. It's still, because obviously a lot of that's filmed in just Lost in Snow and stuff like that, and you do get some of those vibes in it. So, yeah, The Thing, it's that's my number four, yes.
Have you got any more Morricone in there?
It just depends where you go. I think... I don't think so. I think I decided to leave it at that. There's like you could do a top five of his, so I imagine that you might throw one or two in there. He's done some great ones, absolutely amazing ones.
I haven't. Got any on there?
Yeah. Well.
Although I do think that I'm just trying to think of the. I mean, growing up, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, yeah. It's impossible not mm-hmm. to acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But
Once Upon a Time in the West, he did as well, which was another sort of like very famous spaghetti western.
It wasn't that. The one that was... Oh, I had to bought it. Bloody hell, I can't think what the bloody film's called now.
Can you describe it to me, mate? I'll have a go at... what happens in it?
Right, The Mission.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And so yeah, I have that on vinyl, and that is nice. That is a beautiful score. I think I bought that in about 1988. That was probably like the first grown-up record I ever bought. But yeah, it wasn't like anything else that I was buying at that time. But yeah. I remember my mate John had it, and I was like, wow, mm-hmm. that's fucking brilliant. I saw the film when it came out, got very little recollection of that, but the score, absolutely beautiful. I think Ennio's definitely, you know, regarded as a great, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, he's the bomb. So what's your number four, mate? And look at you. What's that I can hear?
I don't know. It's not me.
Oh, it's coming out of my phone.
Right.
Sorry.
So my number four. So my number four is going to be Jaws.
Yes, I suspected this might be your number one. I kept it out of my top five just to throw in some others, thinking it'd be in your top five. But I mean, it arguably is, could even be my number one in many regards.
Well, it's only that one piece of music, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
And just obviously that cello of that. It's brilliant. And I think there's another one that I'm going to mention that if you watch it and there's no music, it doesn't work. And I mean, just seeing someone swimming without that score is nothing. Mm. And like, whereas if you think of Jaws, which is, you know, as we've both discussed, one of the greatest films ever made. Mm-hmm. Without that score, it just doesn't work, does it? It's like that music is so integral to the tension and the whole, all the pivotal points in that film involve where's that shark, when's it going to happen, and that is all signified by that score.
Absolutely.
And I think it's so, you know, if you mention Jaws to anyone, everybody will instantly just go, dur-dum, dur-dum, because, yeah, that's Jaws, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. we've spoke about that film a gazillion times on this podcast, so there's not a lot more to sort of add to it. You know, everybody knows the Jaws theme and how terrifying it is. And, yeah, if you was in the sea and the Coast Guard then started blaring out the Jaws theme, you get out.
Well, he hasn't even had to. That's how powerful that is. He hasn't had to. Up until even the last time I was in the ocean, if I hear it and I've swum out quite far and I hear it, I have to turn around.
Mm.
I have to turn around. To for that to affect you for that long is just so powerful. And it does sort of like, that is the whole thing about horror films, is about fear and fear of the unknown. And then therefore, you know, that music doesn't show you anything. It just makes you feel it. Mm. And that is so much more powerful. Like when Spielberg sat there with a big fucking 19-foot electric shark that looks shit on a good day, and 7 minutes of footage. That save, you know, clever directing and really good storytelling and great acting. Brilliant. But to add that fear, to add the fear of it, to make it really a horror, really, you've got to have the theme tune.
100%. 100%. And, yeah, I mean, John Williams, fuck me. I mean, arguably the godfather of it.
I think so.
You know, let's not start rattling him off because I'm sure he's going to feature more.
But, okay, yeah, sure. Of scores, I think so. So, we'll put a pin in that. And we'll see where we go. But yeah, amazing shout, mate. Amazing shout. So this is my number three. I'm so stacked. I'm going to struggle to get any of this in, really. So I'm gonna go with the Aliens theme tune, which again I listened to today. And it nearly runs, the whole score runs for 112 minutes. Well, I didn't listen to all 112 minutes. I probably listened to 20 minutes and chose different bits.
Yeah.
And the score goes, obviously, like many of them, goes from scene to scene and how they bring out notes and introduce new overtures and whatnot in it. Mm-hmm. And it just tells me why, like I've told you recently, like in the last 5 years, probably my favourite producer is a guy called Lorne. And I can pin it back to like this. I can pin it that far back to that. And there's another science fiction theme tune that didn't make the top five. I don't know. Have you got any other big science fiction ones in yours? Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's possibly that one. But you listen to how... So the guy's called James Horner, who's a composer. And originally he had 6 weeks to compose a score.
to our mind, 6 weeks doesn't feel like a long time to compose a musical score. And when you realise that it almost runs the length of the movie.
Yeah.
And then, do you know what happens? All the production things changes. He had 2 weeks to come up with it. And supposedly him and Cameron had a bit of a fallout, which is no surprise because Cameron's quite a taskmaster. But what you got was this insanely good, haunting, scary, melancholic theme tune that's got, like, he used different, like, weird sound effects, like re-recording things off tape cassettes and stuff like that, alongside just loads of different layers of violins, hence why I think violins is my favourite instrument. And it's just absolutely incredible. And then, you know, Horner's done fucking loads as well. So he went on to do ones like Titanic. That was the next time he worked with James Cameron. But he's absolutely done a shit ton more. I'm gonna find someone. We're a few more off. But yeah, he's absolutely smashed it out apart, James Horner as well. Like, didn't realise how many he'd done. I've just got to find some. You're welcome to say something while I just
I'm just gonna watch you look really sort of uncomfortable.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Do you know what I felt awkward about when we did our top fives on the Patreon? Like, we did top five comedies, and even though I prepared for it, my mind was just going blank when it came to, like, the comedy scenes. Like, okay, Chris, you've picked this as your comedy from the 90s. Why is that? And I'm like, yeah, because it's funny. It's like, that's not good storytelling. That's not the way to
you
get
didn't
some...
do yourself any favours insofar as you also chose quite obscure ones that most people hadn't seen as well, and then what? You couldn't actually then go in on them either.
yeah and I had other ones to pick as well, and I just thought, oh, well, that maybe that's even a bit more to he did Braveheart.
Oh, I watched that last night.
No. Did you? How was it?
Long. I watched up until about 1 o'clock this morning, and then I recorded the rest, even though I've seen that film a lot. But yeah. Melvin Gibson's, like, great in that. Really like that film. And
it is really good. He did Apollo 13. He did, as well, he did, I'm sure he's done more, Avatar. I really liked Avatar, and I did like the music in it. I thought that was good. Yeah, there you go. There's some more for you. Anyway, more for your pipe. Okay. What's your number three, mate?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
My number three. I'm going to go Star Wars. It could be my, it should be my number one, because mm-hmm. it's probably had the most profound impact on mm-hmm. my life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To the point whenever, as we spoke about last week with Leon, you know, when that stab hits you at the beginning of the film. It's ridiculous. But even like scenes like when Luke's in the land speeder and he's charging home because he knows that his aunt and uncle are probably going to have been killed. The tension and the drama in that music. Just when you first see, you know, whenever you see Vader, bomb, 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 ba, bomb, 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 it's like just fucking brilliant. Like,
It's my number two, mate. And like, in fact, really, I mean, like John Williams almost, he like transcends it. He's done all the best soundtracks that it's almost like. I disqualify him because he's almost too good. Like Star Wars, I think, taught me about soundtracks, musical scores, and like the idea that you can have different motives coming in for people like Vader and the Empire and the Rebellion. And there's nothing like that. Like even like at the start of the movie, we were talking about how many times has John Williams' music featured in our discussions in the last 3 weeks?
I mean, we could do top 10 John Williams.
I really do. I'd love to do that at some point, actually. I really would.
I reminded myself of that Shame thing, and I bumped a John Williams last minute.
Yeah.
That he's pure euphoria, nostalgia, and joyous. and that's just one of many.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, let's not reel all his other ones off, because I think we should at some point do another list that's just John Williams. But I will say, like, even the ending of Star Wars, when they're getting their medals, how good do you feel?
Yeah.
Like, how, like, yes, obviously it looks incredible when they're all lined up and it's, you know, they're getting badges and, you know, Chewbacca's had a fucking blow and go and stuff like that. And blow and go, is that right thing? I don't know. That sounds like something you get. On a phone box or something like that. I don't know. He's had a blow dryer. But, you know, that music is like, oh, my God. There's nothing. You just feel like that is what cinema's for. Like I sometimes think, like, when Molly's generation, when she talks to me about movies, and I can't help but be a bit of a prick about it. Like, she'll go, my favourite movie's like something like Angus Thongs and Perfect Snogging. And I'm like, you can't, like, you might enjoy it, but how can you compare that to what goes on in Star Wars? Like, narratively, acting, you know, soundtracks, special effects, production value. Like, it's just so big. Like, you finish the end of Star Wars and you want to run out of cinema and just, you know, do a dance. It's just so good. So he's the man, John Williams, absolutely, an absolute legend.
Should anyone see Chris Glasson doing a little dance in a car park? Just now, you know, he's probably just watched one of the Star Wars films.
not for 20 years has a Star Wars film made me want to do a little dance in a car park, Stu. I can fucking tell you that. So that was my number two.
You're wrong. Force Awakens is fucking brilliant.
I did enjoy it. Unfortunately, it's one of those ones where some movies don't, for me, stand the test. Like, they start to wear out a bit. And unfortunately, the notions that there's so many beats repeated in the previous films that it just, like, for me, like, something like Rogue One is superior in every fucking, in every category. Rogue
did
One
you do
is
one of your
story.
Little dances after that?
Pretty much.
Well, there you go then.
Rogue
you
One.
You just said 20 years.
All right. Rogue One was the absolute shit in my
right.
In my
there we go.
Opinion. They
right.
he Gareth. I think it's Gareth Edwards did everything that they were supposed to do for a Star Wars film and make it contemporary and have a great female protagonist in the lead role. I think that they didn't manage with the rest of the Star Wars films. Anyway,
I mean you're wrong, but yeah.
All right, cool. Okay. It is good. I did enjoy lots of it. Right.
Piss me off, man.
I'm upset you. I'm sorry, mate.
You have a little bit. I'm not going to
Well, that was my number two. So I guess we're on your number two now. That's weird. I've not said anything about John Williams other than just it was good. But yeah, I mean, like, just back to the Star Wars motive for me to add a little bit more, I guess, on top of what you... When they started releasing the computer games, like, even like X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, which I mentioned the other day, like... You'd sit in the lobby waiting to, like, you're selecting your ship and that, and it just had the Empire theme tune. And I've just got the fact that I've got memories of a of a not even the actual game of that game, but the actual, like, just the login page when you're not even shooting anything, you're just going, oh, I'm going to pick this TIE fighter. Yeah. That shows how fucking amazing that score is. Yeah.
Absolutely, smashed
it,
mate.
Smashed it.
Absolutely. Okay, my number two is from Mr. Bill Conti, and it's the Rocky theme.
Oh, incredible.
I think that's one of the most...
that's great.
What's the word? Like, inspiring songs. Because whenever you hear just the opening, ba 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 ba, right, you know that, like Star Wars, the opening credits is going to be the words Rocky going from left to right across the screen.
Yeah.
And then you know at some point you're going to hear that song for a montage, yeah, and especially in Rocky 2 when he starts running through the streets. And then it's just genius. And it's like, if you listen to that as a piece of music, that's got all of the best bits of, like, the score within that film is one track. So you've got, like, the getting strong now, and then you've got the bit whenever Rocky wins, ba 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 ba, all within this one track. And, like, you get the whole journey of all the Rocky bits, you know, from winning to training montages to opening credits. It's one track by Bill Conti, and the brass is fucking incredible on it. It's like, it's just a brilliant tune. And, like, when you hear the full version of it, I mean, if you're going to go for a run, stick that on, because, like, you're in a montage, man. And it's like, yeah, I think it's from the very, like Star Wars, for me, growing up watching Rocky films constantly. And
yeah,
just, you know, however tacky it is, and if people want to say they don't get goosebumps, they're lying. When them montages start, them training montages, and there's just a super cool looking dude just having the best workout, boxing.
Men who say they don't get goosebumps from listening to that soundtrack are the same men who say they don't pee in showers.
Exactly, fucking mate. Liars. Thanks for backing me up there, mate. Yeah, exactly. Bill Conti, the Rocky theme.
It's an absolute pump up.
Gonna fly now, I believe, is the track.
Gonna fly now. So I'm gonna.
Just quickly. Did you ever see the video? Because obviously, if you go to Philly, you run the steps. Yeah, you have to do it, right? And have you ever seen the video that someone got of them running up the steps? And when they got there, Stallone was filming a scene from Balboa, and they get to the top, and fucking Rocky's there. Like, how incredible must that be? Just going. I mean, I would fly to Philadelphia just to run them steps. Yeah. Like, I'll probably make it about halfway up and have to take a knee. But I would love to fucking go there. And there's a statue of Rocky. The fact that Rocky Balboa, the character, is in the Boxing Hall of Fame. Stallone gets inducted into the Boxing Hall of Fame. That shows how inspiring them films have been for people. How many boxers credit that film as the reason they went and put the gloves on and joined a boxing club? It's like, ah, oh, wonderful. Yeah. What a tune. That's without even talking, you know, if we're talking soundtrack, that's when he gets into Eye of the Tiger, Hearts on Fire, Burning Heart, Living in America. Oh, so good. Anyway.
There is jizz flying around everywhere here. It should be my number one.
Because
I feel like I'm doing a particular composer.
I know you're going to go really fucking miserable now, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Like, as miserable as it gets. But I feel like I'm doing a massive disservice to another composer who's got more bragging rights. So I'm not going to say that one. I'm going to go my number one. But after that, I'm going to talk about the other composer who I think, if you haven't picked him...
I've got a big composer that I've not none of us have mentioned yet.
There's two that I think we've ignored. And it isn't my number one, although on another day, one of the five of his could have been. But I'm going for Clint Mansell and Lux Aterna from Requiem for a Dream. I think that
find my
depression.
It defined my sort of like choice that strings, like violins and stuff, was my favourite instrument. And Luxaturna is just one hell of a fucking score for Requiem for a Dream. The, like, you know, there's not many more depressing films out there than that. Yet brilliant.
Yeah.
Schindler's List, maybe. I don't know. John Williams. That'd be for another day. I don't know, mate. Like this, like, it's been used in so many other things as well, and it kind of annoys me that then there's like fucking the rugby on one of the rugby things about 10 years ago. They were using it in the background, and I was just a bit like, I don't know. It was kind of annoying me that it had found its way there. But it is just the most incredible piece of music. And I think I've told you before that one night after a bit of a bender, I woke up and my mate was still downstairs in our place in Tufnell Park. And he'd just been playing that same song all night long. And he was still awake drinking. And I was like, Matt, I barred him from coming over our house for a while. I had to bar him because he'd like filled up the sink with cigarette butts. And there was just half drunk glasses of fucking vodka all around the house. What can I say to that? So Aronofsky, I read this thing that said the John Williams, the Darren Aronofsky's Steven Spielberg. So like he is the sort of like the, yeah, Darren Aronofsky's version of John Williams. He reflects the doom stories of the psychological drama with his haunting minimalist score. The standout piece, Luxaturna, whose relentlessly hammering strings drive one of cinema's most gloriously melancholy scores, has taken on a life of its own, appearing in Assassin's Creed, among other video game soundtracks and film trailers. Yeah, it's such an incredible piece of music.
Absolutely. Amazing film. Don't need to watch it again. But it is a great film.
I'm and not
Clint,
ready.
Clint Mansell, what a dude, you know. We spoke about him before, and the thought that my formative years was jumping around to Pop Will Eat Itself, and I never in a million years thought that fucking the crazy dude from the Poppies would end up making this incredible music. And Clint Mansell's an absolute dude. It's a beautiful piece of music. Can't really add anything else to what you said about that, but yeah, love it.
What's your number one, mate?
My number one is Hans Zimmer.
Yes, brilliant. That was the guy I wanted to talk about. So very glad.
And I'm going to go for the track "Time" from the film Inception.
Amazing.
I tell people to watch this like on YouTube because it's unbelievable. He's playing a concert, Zimmer, and he plays this track, which, I mean, Hans Zimmer is not short of incredible scores to pick from, but this track, when he plays it live, the guitar parts on it are Johnny Marr, and Johnny comes out, and there's just got this a classically trained vocalist. I don't know if that's how you describe her, but she's literally just warbling, and I mean that with the greatest of respect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. It builds and builds and builds, and Johnny's just playing this guitar loop, really, but it just slowly climbs, and it's unbelievable. I ended up still not got Johnny on off the beaten track, but I did speak to his son, Niall. And Niall's got a sort of successful career as a musician, but he's also Hans Zimmer's guitarist. And so we're sort of chatting to him about, you know, how's it touring the world with Hans Zimmer playing guitar? And he's just, incredible. You know, you get to, when you see Hans Zimmer concerts, they're in these huge, stunning buildings of all shapes and sizes, you know, and full orchestra. I mean, I've still never seen a classical concert, and I don't know why.
Let's do a Hans Zimmer if we can. If he performs in London or something, let's go. Let's get tickets and go.
Well, I looked at it after someone introduced me to that track because I thought the film Inception was pretty good. I'm not a massive, like, you know, it's not something that I'd go back and or ever say it's one of my greatest, you know, watches. But that track is sublime. And after seeing that, I was like, right. And I went and got sort of balls deep in Hans Zimmer's soundtracks, score. And I was like, right, I'm going to go and watch Hans Zimmer. And he was playing in Vienna. And it was like 90 quid a ticket. And I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to fly to Vienna and just go and watch him. Like, what a cool place to see him.
Absolutely.
And, like, and then the world stopped. But yeah, so when, you know, we finally find ourselves allowed to do stuff again, you know, properly and with zero restrictions, yeah, and Zimmer does something. Let's go and
let's
do that.
Let's fucking do it, man. Absolutely. Like, so I don't know how he got muscled out of this top five. It's just the different things. I'm so glad you brought him up. But so one of the ones in recent times that I absolutely love that makes me really emotional and break up is the Interstellar one.
Mm.
And Christopher Nolan kind of just, like I said, Christopher Nolan feels that that's the closest someone's got to matching the imagery he's producing sonically. Mm. And I fucking love that score. It is a beautiful, grand score that sort of like feels like it's cosmic in size and the mystery and beauty of all the things that we barely have got a grasp on in terms of science. And that was like what Nolan was doing in that movie. He was trying to write these big science concepts. And I was dating a person, not Molly, and we'd never gone to see a film, And we went and watched Interstellar at one of these everymans where you get a sofa yourself, put your feet up, and they bring you a drink and some fucking special popcorn. And I was, by the end of it, I was crying. I wasn't bawling, but I had tears running down my face because I think the concepts in it are amazing. Like big scientific concepts. So, you know, I guess if you're well into science, maybe there's big flaws and holes in it. But for someone who's not, you know, that smart or scientifically switched on, but probably likes to think I am a little bit, it's perfect for me. And then you have like how he solves it and how, like, you know, the plot, the story arc completes and how the sort of like peaks of that musical score align with it. Are just fucking incredible. Hans Zimmer is just the Don. Like him and John Williams, there's a couple of others, but they too, like, you know, he did the Gladiator theme tune. And I listened to that today. And
you've
again,
got to say score. You can't say theme tune.
Score, sorry. Score. he did the Gladiator theme tune. And
I think he'd done the A-team as well.
Yeah, he did the A-team. Like, yeah, I started welling up.
Like, what, the A-team?
How good was Gladiator? I always forget. Gladiator was a monster movie. Like, it was so good. Like, it had a little bit of something for everyone in there. Sword and Sandal, fucking epic. Great action by Jack Green Phoenix and fucking your man. What's his bollocks? Hairy Australian. Why is his name left
Michael out? Hutchins.
No, it's fuck you. Know what you're trying to do. Come on, it was in Rumper Stumper and all those other ones. And
I really like him.
What, Russell Crowe? Thank you.
Awesome. I've told you the story of my with the Gladiator outfit, haven't I?
I can't remember this one. Hang on here then.
My brother's wedding.
No.
So my brother got married in Russell Crowe's garden.
Yes, yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, no, the listeners have heard that one probably two or three times. Granddad.
All right, cool.
All right, Uncle Albert. If we don't want to repeat that one again, I mean, it doesn't help that I can't remember anything, so I'll make you repeat them. No, I've never heard that one. And about right towards the end of it, I'm thinking this is at least the 10th time I've heard this on the podcast. This is my own fault. Yeah, no, I Gladiator,
it's a great
theme
tune.
It really is. And that's not always done, is it? Like, Hans Zimmer has fucking smashed quite a few other theme tunes out of the park. Can you think of any others that you want to throw in there?
What, honourable mentions from Hans Zimmer?
Yeah. Or you can say any other honourable mentions as well that you want, mate.
A couple of honourable mentions that I want to throw in there for euphoric nostalgia will be E.T.
Good show.
When the BMXs take off and that music kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Again, obviously Williams. Superman, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Both incredible scores.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, there's... I'm just trying to think of other scores that just have absolutely blown my fucking mind. I'm going to stick with what I've got. I'm certainly not going to change anything. And they're the honourable mentions that I want to throw in there. There's loads of... there's basically just loads of fucking John Williams ones from the 80s. Yeah. Oh, shout out to Vangelis, you know. Can't not
Blade Runner. That was the other one I thought you might throw in there, which definitely has formed my sort of like musical sensibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and Chariots like that of Fire.
Cyberpunk type thing, yeah.
Like, you know, an iconic piece of music.
I listened to it this morning because I couldn't remember it.
What, Chariots of Fire?
Yeah, I was like, I couldn't remember it. And then I listened to it, I was like, oh, that is an epic yeah. score.
Yeah.
Really catchy theme tune, that one.
It's a really catchy theme tune. But yeah, so yeah, I'm done, mate.
All right. A couple more just honourable mentions, just personal ones. A Big Papa Jay would love this one. But Alan Silvestri did the Predator theme tune, which I think is fucking hectic. I think he won an award for that.
You're not even trying to be funny by saying theme tune now. You've literally gone back to saying theme tune in all seriousness.
Yeah, no, I'm just being serious now. So that's how I think of it. You think of it how you think of it. You happen to be correct. I'm wrong. Knock, knock. I don't give a shit. And I'm not answering the door. You can stand outside all you want trying to sell me that.
Yeah.
I'm not letting you in. Silvestri also did Back to the Future. He did Forrest Gump. Lilo and Stitch, Polar Express. He's done loads of Marvel Cinematic Universe ones. So Silvestri is a don as well. He's done loads of big thumpers. But his one for Predator, it's just such a powerful, powerful theme tune. So yeah. Oh, and I had one more other person. A shout out to the geezer who did. And I never thought of saying this until I saw this today in like one of the lists. But Howard Shore did the Lord of the Rings ones. And he did, he did 80 Sorry. Different themes and motives for that. That's fucking...
Yeah, do you know what?
They're all 3-hour long films, mate. Imagine the work he had to do.
Boring.
You know what?
I've got to make a song that's going to work with like a fucking dragon orc or something. Like,
Joke's on you, mate. There's no such thing as dragon orcs.
Well, there probably ain't, but none of them are as good as fucking Police Academy.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.